Gracious, you may stand for prayer. Gracious, eternal God, we are very grateful to be allowed to be in your presence this evening, Lord, knowing that although all the world stands in your presence, there are those who do not understand the special privilege that it has been extended, that you are here in a way that you have not been here for 2,000 years, and such a way that makes us to rejoice knowing that what you have come to do, you are going to fulfill that purpose in and through yourself and in the believers at this hour. Now, Father, we just pray you'll help us to recognize your presence this moment and be very conscious in the study of your word, of the reality of that word being fulfilled at this moment, so that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, knowing that that is the way that your word is declared it is going to be. We accept that tonight, Lord. We do not accept it with reservations. We accept it absolutely and totally that this is what you are setting forth in your word and what you are setting forth in yourself at this moment and setting forth in us so that we are one as we have never been one before. We appreciate that. We commend ourselves to your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, as I promised Sunday morning, I would repeat the message in a different way in order that you may, by the process of repetition, find it easier to understand what we have been saying for some time. Now, I'm leading into many reasons as to why he is here, but we're going back to the thought of Isaiah foretelling his appearing. And in speaking of the ministering presence of Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit in this hour, Brother Branham used three portions of Scripture in the New Testament and one in the Old to show that. Now I'm going to repeat what I just said, and that is in speaking of the ministering presence of Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham used three New Testament scripture and one old. Now we must understand what we mean when we speak of the ministering presence of Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus is here, but not in the form of flesh, but as the Holy Spirit himself or itself, and he is ministering identically in the Spirit as he ministered through the flesh and in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is doing it this hour in the sense that there has been predicated in Scripture an hour when he would actually do this. So, the prophet told us that this same one who was in the flesh and did those things which we recognize to be set forth, especially in the Gospels, was here in the form of the Spirit to do the identical thing that he did when he was here on earth. Now, you saw that in many meetings, or you saw the two films, at least I hope you did, and you heard many, many tapes where Brother Branham said, we'll ask him to come. We don't know if he will come, we'll ask him to come. Then he'd say, he is here. And then he would say, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he will do in the Spirit what he did when he was here in the flesh. Now, I want you to notice that Brother Branham used the term Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now that term is not the same as the one found in the book of Revelation over here, and I'll just swing to it quickly. The first chapter where John sees this one, and this one says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Now, you can hardly make that Hebrews 13:8. Because if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then this could not be the physical flesh one speaking, because he is not the same today as he was when he was here on earth. Because that one that was here on earth was a human being who was flesh and blood, but today is not flesh and blood. He has a glorified body. The same yesterday, today, and forever refers to the one who indwelt him, such as Brother Branham mentioned that God took the form of a man when he came on earth as Melchizedek, and there he appeared to Abraham. And such illustrations also he gave us concerning the presence of Almighty God in various forms. And he said that Jesus, when it came to Jesus, the incarnation of God, it was simply God changing his mask. I don't think that you can get a better definition than what Brother Branham gave in Philippians, the second chapter, when he was teaching on that very subject. It was perhaps the most concise he ever taught. The first verse, "Let this be mine in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Now, Brother Branham mentioned that this is the same one from the beginning, Elohim, who simply changed his mask. In other words, the veil whereby he veiled himself was also the means of expressing himself. So, Brother Branham spoke of the ministering presence of Jesus, and he called it in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he called it for this hour. Now, taking from the prophet's message, doing God a service, he said, "Today he's standing amongst us in the person of the Holy Spirit." Now, we must understand that this is where I'm getting flack. And the flack is coming from many quarters because they don't know what I'm saying. They don't know what the prophet said. Now, at Pentecost, he came and divided himself. Not amongst the people, but into the people, and amongst only in the sense that each one had a portion. Do you realize? Now look at, we've got enough people here that are brothers and sisters. We've got Don and Brad, they're brothers. We've got Sister Evans here with her three kids. They're sisters and brothers. We've got, who else we got? Well, we got the Evans, the Graham kids. And we got the Clausen kids, which we appreciate seeing. And your sisters and brothers. And each one of you is a part of your father and mother. Or what else are you? Now, you're not your father and mother. You're you. But the life in your father is in you. Now, this is what we're talking about here. He's standing amongst us. The one that germatized or spermatized the seed back to God himself is here. That's not Pentecost. That's not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That's the church being sealed in itself. The head has come. The capstone has come. Today he's standing amongst us. Who? Jesus. In the person of the Holy Spirit. Now who is Jesus? Don't get all flustered about the word Jesus. It's Jehovah Savior. Before this one, who was a man, and he was an elected, predestinated man. Peter calls him elected. So he went through the same thing you and I went through, except we didn't have a theophonic body, therefore we cannot remember anything, but he did. That one. Now, we're not talking in terms of the flesh. We're talking now to understand this Jehovah Savior is Jehovah Redeemer. And he said, "Beside me there is none other." He's talking about it very, very bluntly. Now, what we're saying today, he's standing amongst us. in the person of the Holy Spirit, the same one that indwelt the physical flesh of Jesus, is standing amongst us, coming into His church, making Himself known. Shalom. Don't be weary. Jesus is here. He is here today, manifesting Himself. Doing the same things He did then, just the same, doing the very same things, and is amongst us today. He showed Himself here with us and proved and vindicated His Word. Now, I say a lot of people don't understand that. They say He's been with us 2,000 years. So what? So what? We're not talking about the fact that by the Holy Spirit He inseminated people for 2,000 years. We're talking about the great inseminator Himself being here.
Amen.
We're talking about the Creator being here. Super sign. There will be a bride just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit. There will be a bride that's washed in the blood of that Lamb. And that Lamb will be living amongst them, showing super signs of His resurrection after 2,000 years. The same thing He did when He was here on earth. Now He's telling you absolutely what it's all about. The same one who was in Jordan became the temple of all that there was of God, the fullness of the Godhead indwelt Him bodily. Now, the one that indwelt Him, which is the Holy Spirit, in His entirety, is in the midst of the church. Now, you understand, therefore, what we're talking about. We're talking about that one whose presence is with us, identified by a ministry in this hour, which is as it is supposed to be. But people are ignorant of it. All right. We're going to go to the four passages of Scripture that Brother Branham used concerning the one who is here, who dwelt in the physical form of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, 32 to 40. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches yet tender puts forth leaves, you know summer's nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know it is near, even the door, at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now that's what he enumerated previous to this, to be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that hour, day and hour, knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they reading and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, the other left. We go to Luke chapter 17, which is where Brother Branham quoted more extensively. 22nd verse, and he said to the disciples, the days will come and you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and shall not see it. Now notice, he's telling them what they're going to desire. Just like he said to Adam, he said, you're going to leave her for me. He said, you're going to desire. Now, there's no way that this could be true unless they would desire it. Otherwise, Jesus was even a rotten fortune teller. Because he would have missed it. He's literally prophesying. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after nor follow. For as the lightning, the light is under one part of heaven, shines the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected generation. Now notice, he says categorically, the Son of Man will have a day that someone longs for.
Praise the Lord.
But you're not going to get it, he said, this side the resurrection. The Son of Man has got to go through the Son of Man ministry. He's got to die, then there's got to come a time when the Son of Man ministry comes again because He said so. 1953, Daddy Bosworth pulled my coattails in West Palm Beach and he said, Brother Vail, I prayed for 40 years for the ministry of Jesus Christ to return to this earth, and there it is in that man, pointing to William Branham. So Jesus wasn't a fortune teller after all, and the bum one at that, he was God that made that prophecy. Now, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, there's a period of time determined in each case. They ate, they drank, they married wives, gave in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day Lot went out of Sodom and rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Apocalypse. The curtain drawn back when he comes in to the position of his own revelation. Now, Brother Branham used that. Now he now turned to John 4. And in there we see he will use some more scripture. He used this time after time after time. Now, this is the woman at the well. But who's heard verse 14? Drink of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. The water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. The woman said, give me this water, that I come neither hither to draw. She didn't understand what he was saying. She's going to call your husband. The woman said, I haven't got a husband. She just said, that's exactly right. You don't have a husband. You've lived with five men already, and the sixth one you got right now is your husband either. The woman said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Now, she didn't say, listen, you fat-nosed busybody. We got a sister in Tucson. Her brother is Swedish. She is Swedish. In Sweden, it's popular for the girls to bring home her boyfriend, and they shack up upstairs Friday night till Monday morning till they go back to school, wherever they're going, and the parents bring up the tray and the cookies and all, knowing they're shacking up. Yeah. No wonder Europe's gone to hell. Don't waste your breath and your prayers. So this fella stood against it. His wife got mad and had them because he didn't want the boyfriend in the house messing with his daughter. So the woman had her son beat the man up and throw him out. She was shacking up. But at least she had enough sense to admit it. You talk about morals. The world is not immoral any longer. It is amoral. It has no morals. She said, I see you're a prophet. So she wants a little religious argument here to go on. That's the way everybody talks about religion, a little argument. So, anyway, he says in verse 23, the hour comes and now is the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the spirit, and neither worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know when Messiah has come, which is called Christ. You see, literally, I know when Messiah comes, see that which is called Christ. That's a repetition because the word Messiah is Jewish or Hebrew, and Christos is the same word. Every time you see the word Christ, it means Messiah. It's a pity that we didn't translate the Bible that way, to keep it in continuity. See? He says, we said we know Messiah's cometh, and he's, which is Messiah, that's what it's saying. He's going to tell us all things. And he said, I am that one. See, and the woman said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Now, he went back to Genesis 18, 9 to 15, where he speaks concerning Sarah. Where is Sarah thy wife? And Abraham said, she's in the tent behind me. And he said, at this time now, she in this year, she'll be having the promised son. And Sarah laughed. Now, Brother Branham putting it all together in his typing, which is perfectly true and scriptural, as it was in the days of Sodom. God appeared to Abraham to announce the son coming in flesh, the promised son, the royal seed, which is Christ. And Isaac was the type of it. Now, reading her heart in the tent, was what Brother Branham did take from the book of John when Jesus read the woman's heart and knew exactly where her trouble lay, the woman at the well. And the same Spirit did the same thing in the ministry or the life of Brother Branham. So, putting these scriptures together, Brother Branham, not erroneously, but categorically correctly, taught through the scriptures and into type, that there would come a time when the same Spirit that indwelt Jesus would come back to this earth and prove that He was the same Spirit by doing the same things identically as was done in Scripture, where the Scripture brings it out. Now, to get to our own statement, or to get to Brother Branham's own statement concerning what I have just brought to your attention, he said, and do the saints go through the great tribulation? The Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing Himself for the past few years to His church in mercy, showing His great presence, doing the same things He did when He was here on earth. Now he said the past few years. 2,000 years are not a past few years.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He said that in 1957. Or 8, I forget which. For the past few years, he said, the Son of Man has already come from glory. Now, he was not saying that Jesus, the physical person, was here. See? He explained that over there in the book of Matthew, people coming and saying, lo, here is Christ, and lo, there is Christ. He said, now look, nobody will say, lo, here is Jesus, the man. Why, he said, they would be too stupid to say that, and they're not stupid. But he said, Christ means the anointed one. So they're talking of the Holy Spirit. And they're saying, come over here where the Holy Spirit is. And you can't do that. See, the Holy Spirit is wherever He is. Wherever He wants to be. And He is in the singular as that which is defined and limited. You know, so many people think that God is unlimited. He is in His attributes unlimited as to the extent of His abilities to the point of His wisdom. For God cannot do anything apart from His wisdom. See? The power is always dictated to by the wisdom. The Son of Man has already come from glory. The Holy Spirit, He's revealing Himself, His great presence, doing the same things He did when He was here on earth for the past few years, revealing Himself like He did to Abraham before the destruction, in the form of a man. God in the form of a man throws a lot of people. They don't like God in the form of a man. You know, I guess that's pretty much... understandable from the viewpoint of thou shalt have no other gods before me. You'll have no graven image. You can't make flesh your arm. You can't make a man a great thing. And right away people then go so far to the right, the pendulum swings plumb out of orbit. Just hold it. God in many parts, in many ways, spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets. God was in the prophets. How much of God? Who'd like to be the theologian? Answer that one. Why did you say God was in the prophet? Each prophet that came along, God is in it. Well, you say, how was that? Well, you could go so far as to say, well, that portion of the Word which was Spirit-filled for that hour was living in the prophet, and you could say that was God in the prophet. That's fine, then you can say what you want. That's okay. But what if it was like the time when Moses entered into the pillar of fire and the pillar of fire into Moses? How much of God was there? Well, did God say in the burning bush, hey, I'm a part of me's here? You see, you can't conjecture. The best you can do is take it as a face value and say, well, look, all it says here that God was in the prophets, that settles it, then God's in the prophets. If God wants to get in the prophet, then takes care of it. See? All right. That's what I'm talking about here now. God was in the form of a man that back there in the days of Abraham. And He appeared there. Now He said, He has come now in mercy, revealing Himself to the church. The next time He reveals Himself, it'll be in judgment on the world and nations that forgot God. Now he has categorically taken the Scripture, and he has shown that according to Scripture, absolutely there has to be a presence of God on this earth, and it is associated with that one who was here in flesh. Now, the Scripture distinctly says that concerning Jesus, that he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You can't get around it. Again, you come to the River Jordan where the dove came down as a dove of fire and went into him and stayed within him. And God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell." Again, the Scripture says, "Hath these last days spoken unto us in the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds." Jesus himself said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one." Now, it is that one that is Spirit that Brother Branham was talking about. And I have given you the Scripture. I've given you what he said. And it cannot be gainsaid, except by those who like to argue. All right, we believe the prophet. But we realize that though these Scriptures are sufficient to prove the point, as to his presence in this hour, Brother Branham did not, as far as I know, use the prophetic Scripture of Isaiah 61, 1-2, that gives the point-blank doctrine of his presence and appearing as found in the Old Testament. Now, before we read Isaiah 61, 1-2, we're going to go to Luke 4, because that's what Jesus did. All right, 16-21, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, without which spirit there would be no preaching. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." But without that Spirit doing the work, there wouldn't be any brokenhearted taken care of. "He sent me to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, because, and only because of the Spirit of God, because without that, nothing would happen. Amen. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." All right. Watch the definitive statement of verse 21. This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. A certain day, a certain Scripture, or the certain word made alive for that day. Now, what part of Isaiah was he reading from, or what part of Isaiah lived for that day? What part was made flesh? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1-2a. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, that's the Scripture that day was made alive, was made flesh, was fulfilled in their ears. In other words, you have heard the reading. It didn't say it was fulfilled in their eyes. It didn't say it had been consummated. It says you are hearing the Scripture of this hour that will be fulfilled in this hour. Amen. See? All right. Notice where God cut off that Scripture for that day, leaving the rest of the Scripture for another day. All right. Let's read it again. "For that day, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus Christ, because God had a purpose And God is the Spirit. This one was anointed to preach the good tidings, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison of the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's it. The rest of the scripture, which was for another day, was, of course, that which continued in verse 2 and over in verse 3. Now we notice that. And with our noticing, we must never forget the emphasis that I've already placed in the first phrase of verse 1 of chapter 61. The Spirit of God Himself is upon me. He was anointed by a Spirit. Now, categorically, that is Deuteronomy chapter 18, 17 to 19. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken what they've spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all I shall command him. And it'll come to pass, whosoever will not hear my words, that he shall speak in my name, I will require it of them. Now we go to Psalm 105, read 9 to 15. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for a lasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one king to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed. And who are the anointed? The prophets. Do my prophets no harm. Who's he talking about? Abraham. Abraham, who went down, and because he was a prophet, and even though he got into hot water, God absolutely refused that man to be touched and refused anybody to even lay a charge against him. And he said, don't you dare lay a finger on my anointed. The anointed was the prophet. Let's go now to Hebrews, the first chapter. We'll read it all the way 1 to 9. Now watch what it says here. God, who in many parts, in many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now listen to this one. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than thee. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee, and again I'll beat him upon, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he said, all angels of God worship him. Now, there's nothing wrong to worshiping Jesus. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hate iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, placing Jesus with the prophets. And he's the great prophet of all the prophets. Now, let's just show a little further. We're going to go here to Luke, the 24th chapter. We'll read 15 to 21. And it came to pass, while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, they should not know him. And he said, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, and as ye walk and are so sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things that have come to pass there in these days? And he said, what things? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and crucified him. And we trusted had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were at the sepulchre, and so on. Now, let's go to Acts, the 10th chapter, 34 to 38. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he feareth them and that worketh right and worketh righteousness. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John priest, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, you notice what I'm drawing to your attention here, that this one is the prophet, the great prophet redeemer raised up according to Scripture. So therefore, he was anointed as a prophet to reveal the word of the hour and to confirm that he had the right to do it, and proved also that he was redeemer by the great ministry that he had. Now notice what this one did according to the Scripture. He stood there and he proclaimed. See? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I have become a proclaimer. Now, to proclaim is to encounter, whether accidentally or in a hostile manner. It may be you may be looking for someone to start a fight and accost him, or it may be you're simply walking down the street and you see him. It may simply mean the merging of friends, the merging of enemies. It doesn't matter. It means to literally encounter. That's exactly what you come up with to begin with in the thought. So the idea here is accosting a person met. It doesn't mean the two ships passing in the dark. It literally means to accost. It means a confrontation. It means an encounter. It means to call out, to address by name. It is widely used to mean call, preach, cry, or pronounce. Thus we have this proclaimer personally accosting people. A messenger of God accosting the people with an ominous sentence. And that sentence we read over there in the book of Deuteronomy, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him, and what's all that I command, and what's in, and whoever listens not, I will require it of him. Now, you see what you're looking at. You're looking at the fact of a prophet. The work of the Redeemer came later. The prophet prophesied concerning the Redeemer. He was the prophet Redeemer. So he told them. He accosted them. He encountered them. He met them. He called them by name. He declared. It was something that could not be avoided or superficially written off. Notice Mark 12 and 37. Just the last part of it, I suppose, what I want to read. And the common people heard him gladly. Let's go to Matthew 27. 24 to 25. When Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See you too. Why? Because he had confrontations with the Pharisees and the Israelites all down the line. There was constant confrontations and name-calling. See? It was hostile. In one place there was peace, with the other there was hostility on both sides. That's why he cleaned the temple. Notice in verse 25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. Notice, confrontation. See? Now, it wasn't the act of redemption. It was what he said that got him in hot water. Amen. Jesus was never in hot water over what he did, except maybe when he cleaned the temple out. They picked up stones one day to stone. He said, for what good deed do you stone me? And they say, for no good deed, but you being a man, you're a blasphemer, you made yourself God. See? As the prophet is where he got in his trouble. So we see Jesus of Nazareth, the anointed prophet, the Son of Man. Listen, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, confront the church to bring them in, to reveal to it its hour of visitation and their destiny. Now, what quote does that sound like I'm picking for Brother Branham? Daniel 70th week. You want me to read it to you? Now, come on, you can't be dead dull of hearing. I've been drilling you for so long on these things, you just got to know them like I do. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot more sessions. Okay? Brother Branham said, the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal the great deep secret thing. Did he do it or did he not? The same one did it. See? Now, the mystery of God begins in flesh. The mystery of God beginning in flesh. And his ministry proved it. He proved exactly who he was and what he said, as in John 5:17-19. And Jesus answered and said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. In other words, he'd been previously carrying on, and I'm carrying on the same. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he naughty and broken the Sabbath, said that God is his Father, making himself equal with God. Now how could God be his Father and him be equal? On the grounds of inheritance, the firstborn automatically owns one half what his Father has. See? Then answered Jesus and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son could do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. Whatsoever things he doeth, these also do the Son likewise. John 14. 7-12. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And henceforth you know him, and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, it'll suffice it. And Jesus said, if I've been so long with you and you haven't known me, Philip, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. And that's exactly right. Why? Because he was the attributes of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And attributes are what you see. You don't see what's behind the attributes, you see the attributes. When you see a horse, you don't see a horse. And when a horse dies, you don't see a horse leave horse. But when you do see that carcass, you do see horse. Certainly, because you're seeing the attributes. And attributes is what? Well, attributes are actually those components which come out of whatsoever lies in there in order to define. Otherwise, there'd be no definition anywhere. See? Attributes are what certain things you attribute to a certain thing. Like animal kingdom got four legs. Not all animals. But most animals have. I suppose the majority of them. Unless there's more species of the slippery kind. I don't know. Seven has the slippery kind got two legs. 7-14. It seems he has seen the Father. Have I been, now, believest thou not I am in the Father in me? The words I speak and I speak not of myself, but the Father dwells in me, he doeth the works. Now he tells you right here that he only says what the Father tells him to say and what the Father tells him to, he does what the Father says to do because it's the Father in him. Believe me, I am in the Father in me, I believe for the very works sake. Truly I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. Also, and more than these shall he do because I go to my Father. He said that in the singular. That there was coming a time when another man would have a ministry that would even be greater than the scope of his ministry. What he, and what we've read here, was Isaiah 61, 1 to the first part of the verse 2. So we go back. Here's the first confrontation, or proclamation. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now then, Isaiah 61, 1-2 was read into revelation and manifestation, or the mechanics of Isaiah 61, 1-2a were dynamized. No longer just the word reality. Now the reality started as an embryo, and it grew full-fledged. And that's where people miss William Branham's ministry. They didn't realize it started as an embryo, but it's growing full-fledged. See, it keeps going, coming more and more into the church. That means positively our flesh is becoming more and more Word, because when you receive the Word of God, you become the Word of God in your flesh. Quote William Branham, prophet of God and vindicated. You sit here and say, well, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe anything. I believe it. It's happening to me. You can say what you want. I know where I'm going.
Amen. Praise God.
I know what I'm talking about. This is not some parroting or some hollow word I'm giving you. This is the life that I stand before you in, what God has done for me and in me. And it's in the inner man and the atoms. That's not a hollow chance. If I was here with some hollow word, I'd pass the plate 5 and 6 times a night and get all the money out of it. I'd beat you down and take you over. Not once have I asked for your money. Not once have I beat you down. Not once have I come to you for anything. I've come here for one reason, to preach that almighty word of God which changes men.
Amen.
And there are people sitting right here tonight who know they've been changed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
See? It's not something that's a pipe dream. It's no pipe dream. It's a reality, see? Absolutely. Now, it started as an embryo, coming more and more into the church. And just as there was one body, a singular, that had the fullness of the Godhead manifesting as an individual through it, so the bride today has the fullness of the Godhead in her midst. And He will manifest through her until the dead come out of the ground. And she herself is absolutely changed, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, every member in the right position. Now, notice, and go back to Luke. Again, the 4th chapter and the 20th verse, that little first part of it. And He closed the book and He gave it again to the minister and sat down. Now listen, He closed the book and gave it back to the administrator from whose hands He took it. From Isaiah 61 verses 1-2a, the book was closed or sealed up and put back in the hands of the administrator. The book was sealed. He closed it. It was finished. Until a certain time, that book had to stay closed. It has to remain that way until it is time for Isaiah 61:2b-3. Now look, He closed it. Put it back in the hands of the administrator. Now let's go on to 62b. Now, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to proclaim not the acceptable year of the Lord. See? That part was sealed to a certain hour. And sealed out to a certain hour. The accept the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort them that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified.
Hallelujah.
You see? Now you understand what we're saying. That book has to remain sealed. There are several sealings in the Bible, closings in the Bible. Now, let's go to Revelation 10. And let's look at verses 6 and 7. And swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things that which are therein, that time should be no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when He shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be perfected and concluded, as God hath declared the good news of the gospel to his servants, the prophets. In other words, the acceptable year of the Lord is over. The book is closed, sealed until that time. But at that time, when the day of grace closes out, the Bible is once more opened. That's the day of the vengeance and the rapture and beauty for ashes. The beautiful bride walking on the ashes of the wicked. We're not giving you a pipe dream. Let's go to Revelation 5:1-4. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. A manuscript completely covered. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, is able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither look thereon. All right. Back there it took a man to open the book. How? Anybody can open a book. His brother Branley's prayer one time said, "God, anybody's hands can open this book, but only the Spirit of God can open it to the hearts of men."
Amen.
He opened the book for a certain period of time known as grace. And he closed it. That book cannot be opened until the day of grace closes out. Now here is that book. Notice, he took the book out of the hands of the administrator and he put it back into the hand of the administrator once he had finished his job in that particular area. Now, let's go to Daniel 12. I don't have to read it. You know it anyway. It tells you there, Daniel sealed it up until the time of the end. Until practically to the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. He tells you, oh, let's go back and read it. That's no, we got time. If you haven't got time, too bad. Just make time. All right. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation in that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now notice you're right back to a book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of firmament, and they that turn men to righteousness as stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. What's he talking about? That time right there. Well, it's all over. The time of the end. Time runs out. End time. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on one side of the bank of the river, the other on the other side. One said, "The man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand to heaven, and held his hand, his left hand to heaven, swear of him, live forever, there shall be a time, times and a half. That's the 3.5 years great tribulation. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Notice he's talking about a finishing. See? All right. The day of grace has to finish for the Gentiles. See? And when that grace runs out, that's the time the seals are open. The book is open. That's the time the rest of the scripture reading has got to come to pass. It has been sealed up and stopped from the coming to pass. See, that's why there couldn't be a rapture in the first church age. There's no way there could have been. Every ingredient was there. But grace hadn't run out. It wasn't time. All right, just look at this thing again. Now, I looked, and there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other side on the other bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. Now, he didn't see three people. He saw two. One had moved from land to water. And a mighty messenger came down and put one foot on land and one on sea. See? All right. The whole thing is being fulfilled. Verse 8. And I heard and understood not, and I said, Oh, Lord, when shall the end of these things be? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of time. Now, it's not sealed till the end of time where you're going to be in heaven and God tells you everything. He's telling you it's sealed to the period. See? Now listen. The law was until John. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There's a period in there. There's an interim period at the end time too. As grace begins to run out and the fullness of the Gentiles is over and the time for God to turn to Israel. And that's the time when there's no more Gentile bride coming in and the last ones are being child trained. And you'll never know it. There's no way you'll tell. They'll be having altar calls. The Spirit of God will be moving because it's on the false ones and there's absolutely anointed. And they'll be saying, you're wonderful, you're bride, you're hallelujah. Ain't nothing to it. Ain't nothing to a bunch of hogwash and lies in the pit of hell.
Right.
Many shall be purified, made white, and tried. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now there's your wise and your foolish and your wicked. There's your separation. And from that time, the daily sacrifice taken away and so on. He that waiteth and so on down the line. Now, let's go to Revelation 10, 1 to 7 again. See how the Bible all that dovetails and adds up? I saw another mighty messenger come down to him and clothed a cloud and a rainbow upon his head, face that were the sun, and feet as pillars of fire, and his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot upon the earth. Now, the book that was placed in the hand closed is opened and comes on down. Now notice, he had his foot on land and sea, cried the loud voice as when a lion roared. It doesn't say a lion roared, it says as when a lion roared. All right, let's get this flat. What was the first beast loose? Lion. What's this time? Eagle. In other words, it doesn't say it's a lion roaring. It says, as when a lion roars. In other words, the eagle comes with the identical message that the lion had. But this time it's revelation. Why? Because it's not set to run around the world and produce another calf and another man. It's over. It's spiral time up in the heavenlies. Now the crows can't get it. I had my old buddy Joe Ratzkevy there in St. Catharines. He phoned me the other day. And he said, you know, Brother Vail, he said, I watched them crows. He said, you know, Brother Vail, when a crow get in the whirlwind, he go up and then suddenly he just drop like a hunk of lead. He can't take it. Oh, Joe ain't no dumb buddy. He's a Hungarian. All right. As when the lion roared, seven thunders uttered their voices. Where were those thunders? They were on earth. Now, the book was sealed up. The word was stopped. And it had to stop because the Spirit of God stopped it. The Spirit of God that gave it stopped it and explained it. And he said, you don't go any further. Now watch it. And when the seventh thunder heard the voice, I was about to write and heard a voice in heaven saying, seal up those things, the seventh thunder sound and write them not. Now that's God speaking from heaven. Though it said this is to happen on earth, and the book was sealed on earth, he closed it. Now notice, I've been talking about a man anointed with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is a man. Because God can't be born. God can't die.
Amen.
I've never heard such asking in my life. Thinking that Jesus was God, then God killed himself, then who raised him? Do you think for 1 minute if God died, the devil wouldn't take over and stay taken over? God can't die. God can't be born. No way. When God indwelt him, he was 100% God. And don't think for 1 minute, he is not your Lord. Because God has made him both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
He is the Messiah. He is the raised one. He is the one we worship and we can pray in his name. And all power in heaven and earth stands behind him. He's like Joseph with Pharaoh behind him. Whatever he said went. Because he couldn't say anything except what the Father said. See? All right. We understand what we're looking at here now then. Okay. Keep it a little further. And the angel I saw stand upon the sea and upon earth lifting hand to heaven and swear by him and so on. But in the days of the voice of seven messenger, what's going to happen? The thunders will be loosed from the sealed book. Okay? Because it was the bringing of the book down that brought the thunders. And the unsealing allowed the thunders to come forth. God speaking. All right. Notice, he tells you how it's going to be done in the days of the voice of the seven church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound, blow upon his trumpet. The mystery of God should be finished, perfected, concluded, closed off. You can't add and you can't take. As God hath revealed the good news of the gospel by his servants, the prophets. In other words, this prophet concludes all prophets. So no matter whatever prophet comes after him, it is nothing but a continuation of that very thing that's happening in this very hour. See? Okay. Revelation 22. Now we're talking about the Anointed One. We're talking about the great prophet, who is also the Redeemer. Revelation 22. 8. I fell down to worship before the feet of the messenger that showed me these things, and he said, don't do it. I am of thy fellow servant, thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now listen, at this time the book is open. At this time the fifth chapter of Revelation 5 to 10, which we'll soon read, has taken place. Now listen. He that is unjust still. He that is filthy still. He that is righteous still. It tells he's separating the wheat from the tares. He's separating them. He that is holy is holy still. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. To give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Hogwash. Blessed are they that wash their robes. That they may have the right to the tree of life, may enter into the gates through the city, through the gates into the city. Now it tells you right there that these people positively are immortal. And at the time that they are immortal, and they are caught away, they comprise New Jerusalem. And the demarcation at that time, because these are the living, and the rest down here are living. And all the rest are nothing but dogs. That's male prostitutes, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, who the love and make a laugh. The foolish virgin's dead. They're gone. There's only two groups of people living. Old and New Testament bride and those down here that are going to die when the bride comes back and destroys them. Filth. Nothing but filth. The serpent seed of the ages. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify. I sent my messenger to testify you these things in the church. Now notice that this one is saying, I have sent a messenger. That messenger is a prophet. Right here. Now you can't change it. And it's in the first person. So therefore, whatever prophet this is actually has the words of God in his mouth. The same as Balaam said, I can say neither good nor bad of my mind. And he was just a prophet, not the genuine. The spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth says, come, and so on. Now let's get back to Revelation, the fifth chapter, reading from the fifth verse. Now here is where the book was, and they couldn't open it because they couldn't find anybody. Verse 5, and one of the elders said, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now notice, the emblem of Judah is a lion. And kings come out of Judah. So what is he? The word turned loose. Behold, lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits God sent forth in all the earth. Now that's seven church age messengers with the word of God. He has it all within him. Now, it's all been expended. Time's run out. The gospel has run out. And at that time, he came and took the book and opened it. Now, there's only one thing left. You got to carry on his ministry. And what is that ministry? Proclaiming judgment. Now, we notice who closed the book. It was that Lamb closed the book. Because his work had changed now from Redeemer of giving his life in a sacrifice to administering the effect of his death. That is mediator and intercessor. So when that's over, seals are off the books, just waiting there for the temple filled with smoke and judgment. Now, who closed the book? That Lamb closed the book. Now notice where the book was, the administrator in the hands of God. Notice now who takes the book. The Lamb retakes the book. Notice who proclaims. And here is where the fundamentalist make an error. The fundamentalist does not know that the same one, in the same manner, announces. Now, how does he announce? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. See, you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Don't be mixed up with the fundamental guy that says, hey, everything we're talking about is Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus. That does it. The Spirit of God was upon many men.
Right.
It's been upon many men. Prophets. The Spirit of God right today is falling upon any flesh. Wicked. Not so wicked. Righteous. The Spirit of God upon all flesh. But when it comes to a specific purpose, a specific area, what's going to happen? Now let's keep watching. The fundamentalists do not understand this. It is a spirit upon a man. It is the Jesus Logos who appears and announces. Now let's watch carefully how I'm trying to put this together for you. So you'll see Acts the third chapter as you've never seen it before in such clarity. Now you should have seen it last Sunday, but I want you to see some more here. Now listen, Peter has just said that you have killed the Lord Jesus Christ. God has raised him. This has been done according to the prophets. Verse 18, but those things which God before showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Now notice, he fulfilled that and did it in order to make good his prophecy. I'm here, anointed of God, to initiate all these things. And the prophecy would have been null and void except for his death and resurrection. Now watch. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Period. Now, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now it tells you this, that whatever appears at this time is God. That which is visible to the eye is the presence. Now Jesus categorically said, if I had not done the works of another man, did they not sin, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now it tells you that whatever comes from the presence of the Lord is going to bring a time of refreshing. Worldwide. William Branham's miracle ministry, which was the repeat ministry of Jesus Christ by the Spirit in a human being, according to John 14 and 12, came into being, greater works than these, more than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. See? And remember, Jesus, in a multitude or a group, healed every single person, and there's no record of anybody outside of Jesus and William Branham of every person being healed in a meeting. Not one missed. Now watch, and he shall send Jesus Christ which was appointed. But hold it. He can't come until, because the heavens must receive him, until there's a restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets. Now watch. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things whatever he shall say unto you. Now, he is going to say something. Now watch. It'll come to pass that every soul not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. All right. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me in order to proclaim. God was in the prophet speaking. See? Scripture came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Balaam said, I can say neither good of my own mind. I can only say what he tells me. And Jeremiah said his word was altogether in my tongue. Again, the God said, I put my word in your mouth. Now, what I want you to understand is this, that Jesus Christ, without that anointing, would not have been a prophet. So therefore, the man is not it, it's God who is it.
Amen.
And when you get to God, you get to Elohim, which is Spirit. Now, understand what I'm saying. The word of the prophet is the word of God. The word of God comes to the prophet. And God does not speak outside of a prophet. Now, God was in the prophet. Then for the fullness of God was in the Son to make him that Redeemer. Now, when he was here on earth, in a human body, that anointing on him, making him a prophet, said, this is for a certain period, and the book was sealed. The book was stopped in its tracks until it expired. Now, he said, the same one said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me in order to proclaim the day of the vengeance of our God. And I'm asking you, Christian, what's the difference between William Branham and Jesus Christ if it comes to the Holy Spirit saying a certain thing? And here's where people rebel right now. They can't take it. They can't take it. There comes a day when they'll show their colors every single time. They cannot accept God in human form. They can't do it. I can name you names right now. But there's not really much point. They simply can't understand. When Jesus said, did he not call them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came? Then why do you make so much of it if I call myself the Son of God, which I am, because I am standing here as a prophet? Remember, Jesus was the prophet. And remember, God is his own prophet.
Right. Amen.
In the burning bush, he talked to Moses, and he got into Moses, and he talked through Moses. All right, ask your question. Was that God with Moses any different than the one that's in Jesus the Christ? No way, Moses was not Redeemer. All right, now here we've come right to the issue, and we are not going to duck it. We are going to look right at it in the book of Isaiah 61. And we're going to read it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's over. To proclaim the day of the vengeance of our God and to comfort them that mourn. Now, who did it? Jesus is the man? No way. No way. Now, here's where they can't follow Brother Branham. He kept repeating. Let's go back to John 5 again. Let's begin to understand some things here. And get ourselves grounded. as to whether we know something or don't know something. Alright, Jesus answered and said, verse 19, verily, verily, unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these doeth also the Son likewise. Now the point is this, we go to John 14 and he'll clear it up a little bit more. And in John 14, he says here, believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now you understand that it was God in him both speaking and doing. All right. The Spirit of the Lord God is on a man that the Lord God may announce. That the Lord God may announce what? The day of grace. The same Spirit of announcement is upon a man to announce the day of judgment. Now what's so tough about that? If you're back in Pentecost, then you kind of batten your eyes around. I told you these meetings one thing. I teach you on Sunday, and we go over the coals on Wednesday. But you're still not getting it. And it's hard to get because you can't shake the thought of, oh, I might have a graven image. I might make a man God. I might do this, I might do that. Well, you might do anything. You might blow your brains out tonight and do yourself in the world a treat. That wasn't nice, was it? I said that on purpose. You might also go and buy your wife a nice pretty present or something too. Or do the dishes for her. The wife might bake you a nice cake or give you a sweet kiss instead of a sour smile. Don't you women all go around thinking that Brother Branham just said something for the men to knock the devil out of you by giving you kisses and roses and nice candy. Maybe you could knock the devil out of your husband by giving him some kisses and some nice things when you meet him at the door too. All right, proclaim. See, I'm trying to get you to understand this. Who is doing the proclaiming? Who is doing the proclaiming? He said, it's the Father in me doing the talking. Now let's prove it. Jesus one day said, all that the Father giveth me will come unto me. See? They're going to come. The Father answered back, and I will raise him up at the last day. Because it's not the Son that raises the dead, it's God raises the dead. The Bible says so. All right, now let's go over this again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I am anointed to do some talking. And I'm not going to say anything of my own mind. I'm going to talk. But it's God in me doing the talking. You know that Brother Branham has a tape? And the words you got there, I forget the name of the tape. My memory's no good, but I got it at home. Where right on that tape, his voice says, this is not your brother William Branham speaking. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your horrors, that's spiritism. Isn't it strange the devil can do everything and God can do nothing? He must have died and the devil died. I guess he must have died. See? All right. Notice who proclaims. We're reading in Acts again. We brought to your attention. Now, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up in your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things whatever he shall say unto you. All right, listen. The thing is this. Who is doing the talking? You say that man is doing the talking. Huh? No? He isn't, he isn't. We go to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. I want you to get this. To understand the best you can. It's the hour in which you live. And it says here in verse 16 of chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. In the Greek, that is not the voice of the Lord descending. Then who is it? Well, you know only one person can talk for God, and that's a prophet. And God is in the prophet. And God is doing the talking. Now he's using a channel. He's speaking through somebody. He's in control. He doesn't speak of his own mind. And he's got something that stands behind him, as thus saith the Lord, to indicate and to vindicate it is God doing it, because the words of a man can't do it. And if the words of a man can't do that, then what voice is talking? It's God talking. Because he's using a man. He said he'd use a man. All right. Now, at the end time, when the book is open, there has got to be a confrontation. So what do we got? We got the confrontation of this hour. Where the Spirit of God is here present. And when God is present, there has to be a prophet present. That's right.
Praise the Lord.
When God does anything or God speaks, there has to be a prophet. That's the law laid down. All right, listen. We're going to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Now, you all know this. There's no two ways you can get around it. And it says here, verse 18, you're not come to the mountain that might be touched. For you're not come on the mountain that might be touched and burned with fire, and so on. The voice of trumpet, the beast hit it, they would kill it. But you're come to Mount Zion, unto the city living God, heavenly Jerusalem, company of angels, general assembly of church, the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of new covenant, to the blood of springs speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. All right, who's doing the speaking? For if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not, if we turn from him that is from heaven. Now who's from heaven? Mighty messenger came down. Who is he? God himself.
Amen.
10 and 1. 10 and 7, prophet. See? All the time you got to understand that. Now watch. The fundamentalists put Isaiah 61:2-3, which is what we read. The day of the vengeance of our God to comfort them that mourn and so on, to mean Matthew 24:27-43. Now let's take a look at it. They go right over here to Matthew 24. Now watch how they put it. Now they say, here it is. For as lightning shine cometh out of the east and shines unto one part, unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's not coming, it's presence. And they've got a blinding light coming, absolutely in destruction. 36-43. For that day and hour no man knows, not the angel of the heaven, only my Father. But as it was in the days of Noah, so is the coming of the Son of Man going to be. That word is presence. He's already there. But they make it coming. He's going to come. See, once more they make it as a catastrophic thing. They make that the same as Revelation chapter 19. Let's take a look at it, because that's what it's got to be. When he comes back, we come back with him. Now, Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 11, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faith and Truth. Righteous does he judge and make war, and his eyes are flame of fire. His head had many crowns. He'd been crowned, you see, at the wedding supper. He had a name no man knew but he himself. He was clothed in vesture, dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies that followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, that's the bride. Out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. That's when we come back with him, eyeball the Antichrist and his bunch, and they become ashes under our feet. An actual confrontation. Now, here is what the fundamentalist says. The fundamentalist says that is the announcement or the day of the vengeance. But they forget there's an announcement. They forget that there's an announcement, a proclamation. Now, I know that when we bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima, I understand they sent a little pamphlet around the town, dropped a few or something. But don't worry, there wasn't any letters and a great big announcement made that we've got the atomic bomb, and I'll tell you, I'm going to show you how it works and everything else, and we'll demonstrate. You come on over here and see, and we're going to drop one on you. They just blasted. Now listen, when you got an announcement, a proclamation, a confrontation, that is not the blast. That's the confrontation. Now you see, the Spirit of God was upon Jesus to make the announcement concerning grace of which he's Redeemer. But he's not Redeemer anymore. And grace has run out. Now who's the Spirit upon? Well, that's your question. It's got to be a prophet. See? And the one that was in Jesus, which is the Holy Ghost, is the same one that's here right today. And he is here at this minute. And he was there making confrontation through William Branham, who preached on the trial, the indictment, flashing red light of warning, the countdown. Time after time, he showed the people that then there could be no doubt, there is, it's incontrovertible evidence that he who indwelt Christ our Redeemer is here. And you cannot have God amongst men without a prophet. It just won't work. Because God's got to have a prophet to make any announcement. That's why Jesus was the prophet. Then he went from the prophet to being the Redeemer. Now he's no longer prophet. Why? Because somebody's got to prophesy about him. Somebody's got to let us know that the hour is approaching when there's going to be flesh appear back on this earth, which is the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the fundamentals make this all very secret and very sudden concerning this destruction and the bride returning for the millennium. If this is so, what do you make of Revelation chapter 6, 12 to 17? Let's just take a look at that. This is under the sixth seal. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree cast her in time to fig, when she was shaken a mighty wind. The heavens departed as a scroll, and it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us the face of him that sits on the throne of the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is coming, who's able to stand? That tells you right there. They knew it was coming. They knew it was coming. Sure. They're mixed up and they think that because Jesus is involved and he will come back, wreaking destruction on this earth with the bride as he comes down, they fail to see that there is a proclamation of the day of the vengeance of our God. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 61. Now, to comfort all that mourn. It's not just a proclamation of the day of vengeance. Not just a prophet on the scene saying the day of grace is run out. The one that closed the book has opened the book and the Holy Spirit's here to finish it all. He didn't, that's not all. He's here to comfort them that mourn. See, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. Alright, what's turned to ashes? Bread in our mouths turned to ashes. Now you've got the Word of God to feast on. You're not feasting anymore on just the Word, you're feasting on reality. Brother Branham said, the words of a man can't do this. He said, you're feeding on the body Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? Garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What suddenly happened? We know grace and love and understanding we've never known it before. And they're called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. There's a new crop of trees planted. They're called the immortal trees. Do you realize you're going to leave this earth immortal? Just think of that for a minute. Absolutely immortal. How do you think you're going to fit in? You won't. That's why you're going to get out of here. Okay? That's exactly what's happening. That he might be glorified. Tells you that. Right down the very end. And it says here, and I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Now, let's go back to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Bible. Old Testament. Now you all know what I'm going to go into. For the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all that are proud, ye all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall bring them up, saith the Lord of hosts, leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with immortality in his wings. Now where do you get immortal? Down here. Then where is the rising of the Son of Man? Here. See? The ministry. The ministry begins here, a prophetic ministry of the Word that says, time has run out, immortality has set in. I don't care about the judgment of the wicked, the day of the vengeance of our God. There's no vengeance coming to me.
Praise the Lord.
See? What's happened? Over here in the book of 2 Thessalonians. Then I'm going to let you go now. The time's run out. 2 Thessalonians. The first chapter. And it says, and you who are troubled in verse 7, rest with us. Rest when? Relax when? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, the apocalypse is from heaven, with his mighty messengers and flaming fire taking vengeance. You say, ha ha, ha ha ha, you. Because the word vengeance does not mean what you think it does. It means that which proceeds from justice. The widow came to the unjust judge and she said, avenge me, O judge. This man has got my land. And the judge looked down, he's an unjust judge, and he said, hogwash, you ain't got a cause when we get out of here. Well, she said, you don't think I have, but I have. So she kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back, and the Bible said, you think he's going to avenge her? You think he's going to give her justice because she really deserves it? Because he's, you know, kind, sympathetic judge and all that? No. She is going to keep coming back until she gets it. So she is going to get that which proceeds out of justice. Avenge me. Give me my property back. Give me what's mine. Now it tells you here, when he comes with those seven angels, that which proceeds out of justice, a just God, hearing the cry, and he comes down to see if it's all together like it looks like. Is the cup of Sodom and Gomorrah finished? Are all our sodomites in the land? My God, you talk about sodomy. It's affecting families. A preacher friend of mine, married a lovely girl, thought she was fine. She turned into be a lesbian. Family busting up. How many preachers got kids that are homosexuals and God knows what? See? That which proceeds out of justice. What was it? The cup was full. God came down in the form of a man. Stood right there with the elect and said, aha, Sodom and Gomorrah is finished. This is the hour for the Son to appear in flesh. So, Sodom burned. Then there's tribulation. Then the sun came on the sea. Came on a purified earth. Yes, sir. We're looking at that today, brother, sister. Make no doubt about it. Now, it looks to me like the world knows quite a bit about destruction. They sure do. But they know nothing of his coming to a bride. Even before the whole world burns, as it says in Hebrews 6. Let's take a look at Hebrews 6. Now, I'm not trying to grind an axe or pick a fight with anybody, but I just want you to know some things in Scripture.
Amen.
I'm not standing up here some half-baked idiot. Now it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. This evidently, this doesn't do it. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now look, you can't beat that in this hour if the hour of perfection hasn't arrived. Because you better be repenting. You better stop your dead works. You better have faith toward God. Now it says, leave it alone. Now does that mean throw it away? No. It means this won't work anymore. Of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, of resurrection, death, and eternal judgment. Now listen. When this perfection comes, the resurrection isn't even in it. You see what I've been telling you all along? I can't die. I could die. But I'm not concerned because I'm going to live. You understand what I'm saying, people here? Because I've had my belly full of these out here running around. Can't make up their minds. Want to fight the word of Almighty God. You understand what I'm saying? That's what these meetings are all about. I may shout at you, we'll get worse than that. We'll take a table here and I'll be talking to women, eyeballing you women like I'd eyeball the men, and you'll answer me back. You don't be sitting here looking at your babies and this and that and snorting around as though you got some kind of a cold or a pea brain. I'm lowering the boom tonight. You understand what I'm saying? It says, you leave this. Yeah, leave it. What's your brother Bailey? Can't. Then go and beat it. You got no place here. You're wasting my time. You're just a pain in the neck. You'll be shooting your mouth off to hurt people. You'll be trying to cut my feet off. And I'll kill you. I said that with a snarl. And I mean it, because the gloves are off. Brother Branham said the day came. This was the day to take the gloves off. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go to perfection. And you can't. If you keep looking back at what was, like the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Pentecostals, he's here in the gates of hell or against it.
Amen.
You're not going to die. What do you care about a resurrection? I've been telling you. This is the first time the revelation hit me when I've been talking about it. Because I'm not serving a fool, I'm serving the living God. It's no longer a word, my brother, sister, it's reality. And you look at old Eve and you say, I can't understand because he's the worst of the worst. That's how God got you fooled. God said he would send strong delusion. I'm about the strongest delusion God could ever send on anybody. Oh, there's a million preachers nicer and sweeter. But they'll take you to hell. And I'm pointing you to Christ tonight. I've never pointed you to Lee Vale. No way, shape, and form I pointed you to myself. And I'll stand on the record because I've got all the tapes that are being taped right now. I've never told you a lie. And I'm telling you the truth tonight. There comes a time when it's all over. Grace is finished. The wicked are separated from the holy. The foolish from the wise. He is here doing it. His fan is in his hand. He's thoroughly purging his floor. He's gathering his wheat in the garner, ready to burn up the chaff. You understand me tonight what I'm saying? He's here. Oh, I'm sick and tired of these presents. Are you? Be my guest. Maybe there's a reason for it. See? I'm not. Oh, no. You don't know what he's done for me this year. This is my roughest year, but you don't know what he's done for me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. One letter in the mail just explodes. Yeah. He loves me. Yeah. Think he wouldn't? Foundations. Repentance toward faith. Your faith toward God won't do it. No. There's millions right now got faith they're going to make the rapture. They're going to die.
Right.
They're not going to make it. They're going to die. Brother Brown said that was the lie. The lie was you shall not die. That was the lie in the garden. That's the lie now. That's the lie that got them out of the garden. That's the lie that's going to keep them out of the garden. They'll never get back. Doctrine of baptisms. You can be baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go to hell. But you can't be baptized in Jesus' name and make the bride. It's Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in doubt, you better not smart off and just think maybe you're okay, because you ain't okay. Because the prophet said, thus saith the Lord. That's a serious charge to me. And a resurrection of the dead. I'm not interested because I'm not going to die. But I could die tomorrow morning. Tonight, what's the difference? I'm trying to tell you something. It's the hour of immortality.
Amen.
When Abraham stood there on his last leg, so to speak, and Sarah, maybe more quivering and quavering than he was, and God stood there in human flesh and he said, this is that hour. And they had to be changed to bring him back. He said to Brother Branham, what does it mean that which is perfect has come? Well, he said, who is perfect but God, and what is God but the Word? And by His divine grace, we believe they have the perfect revelation of His Word for this hour. Yeah. And he stood there. I'll never forget the night he stood there weeping in 1965 in November down at Jack Moore's Thanksgiving Convention. And he said, I don't know why he healed me now, but I'm healed. But he died in that condition. But there was a land beyond the river where he's perfectly healed. And God has told me, and I'll not take it back for anybody, that I'll have that sweet spirit. Oh, you say, cruddy old baby, huh? You're looking at a man's going to heaven, yeah? Oh, yeah. Sweet with honey on the rock, yeah? Oh, yeah. I know what I'm talking about. You don't think so, I'm telling you the truth. Sit here, be skeptical. Don't bother me any. No? Let me tell you something. Somebody's got to be sitting in that throne with him. I'm going to be there. Amen. By the grace of Almighty God. By a word that hasn't failed. No? No, he told me. I could be dead tomorrow and not have it. I have it on that side or this side. The planting of the Lord trees. A new growth. Right out of the ground. Oh, watch those dead come forth. And he says here, and of eternal judgment. In other words, you stop looking. Yeah. There's no place to run. Listen. There's nothing to run from, and there's nothing to run to. Yeah, because he's here.
Man.
Don't go looking around here. He's over here. It's over here. It's over here. Come to my church. Come to my convention. Oh, no, no, no. He's here. And if you don't see him here, you'll never see him anyplace else. Now listen. And he said, it's impossible for those once enlightened. All this is over. The enlightenments are finished. Yeah? You know why? I'll tell you why. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, as it came from Jerusalem and has ended up in America, even the presence of Him is. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shone in darkness. And it says here, once for all enlightened, there's no more light. Taste the heavenly gift. Partake of the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God. They shall fall plumb away. Why? Because they didn't go to perfection. They said, He's not here. Or they said, well, so what? Or they said, I've heard too much. They crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. They put an open shame. Read you something. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It never come into existence what we shall be. We know He shall appear. Now that word, appear, means to be absolutely in His true character. When you talk about Colossians, when Christ who is our life shall appear, that means He appears in His true character, exactly who He is. And God Himself. Because that light, God was in Christ, the Bible says. When He shall appear in His true character, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now listen, let's get this straight. Now don't fool with yourself and fool with me. The fundamentalist says this has to do when you're caught up to see Him. My Bible says you've got to see Him to get your change. Because you cannot be caught up until you get your change. Amen. Now, how do you get your change? By looking at Him. Amen. How do you see Him? Through hearing. A revelation. Now, we are going to start a fan club. It's going to be called the Jesus Fan Club.
Last time we had one. He's the head and he's here. Nobody pays any attention. The gates of hell squawk against it. As long as you don't kick somebody in the groin, they're happy if Christ gets smacked in the teeth.
Right.
So they're throwing innuendos. Doesn't matter. Listen, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Next Sunday, I'm going to go into a complete repeat. Change my notes on Christ appearing to the Gentiles as he appeared to Israel. I preached that some time ago, but I only preached it once, and therefore you missed it. There's money here tonight. Can answer me three questions on it. First of all, let's make a test. What chapter did I take it from? Anybody tell me? Now, there you are. Matthew 12. What Old Testament book does it refer to? Isaiah. Well, looks like they need re-preaching, eh, Lloyd? I appreciate Lloyd, you know. The reason I called on him is because I know he went to Brother Evans after last Sunday's message when he knew I was going to re-preach this. I said, I'm going to get the tape and study up, and I'll be, you know, he was going to catch up with me. It changes so much, Lloyd, I can't keep up with myself. So no. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return. Now, the only way to return is through Elijah the prophet. Restoration. And you shall discern or actually judge between righteousness and wickedness. I gotta let you go home, but I can't stop reading. Once my mind starts moving, I can't get out of gear. Once it gets in gear, I'm sorry. Now, so then, because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I spit out of mouth, because you see I'm rich and treated with goods and need of nothing, and knowest not you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Here's what they're saying. I'm rich, I'm increased in goods, I don't need a thing. I preach it, I say it. And he said, you got nothing at all. And the rest stand back, and they say, who needs it? I've got him. I don't need to worry about riches. I've got it. I don't need to worry about nakedness. I've got it. Let me read something, John. He's the man that wrote the Revelation. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, show himself in his true character exactly who and what he is, we may have confidence and not be found fornicating and caught in the very act. For that word shame is literally means a sexual act. Naked and won't cover their shame. The Laodicean church is guilty of idolatry. The crudest, rottenest idolatry. Making a harlot their God and a harlot system. And he said here at his presence, I don't want one of you caught in the sin.
Right.
Caught in your fornications of your creeds, your dogmas, your false gods, your this, your that. Oh, brother, sister, can't you see tonight that which is perfect has come? Can't you see that that one who made the announcement concerning himself and closed the book has opened the book and the day of vengeance is here? It's just the same as when they opened the pit and the plagues came out. It's the same as when they opened the vials and the plagues came out. The open book has loosed the day of the vengeance of our God. But at the same time, it comforts them that mourn. And in his presence, his unveiling, he says, you're blameless. You're blameless. You talk about the goodness of God, the redemption of God. I'm telling you, I have never known His goodness as I know it today. I've never known the love in my heart toward Him. I've never known His love toward me. I've known none of these things. And I knew as I preached all these years, there's nobody could tell it. There's only one person could tell it. And that would have to be me within myself. You can't tell by looking at me. And I'm going to tell you, no living man but me caught the look on the prophet's face. I'll be honest with you, tell me. You say, Brother Bailey, you're boasting. No, I'm just telling you some facts. Let's get this straight. You're not fooling with an idiot up here. You're not. I'm going to meet myself going down that road. I'm going to meet a lot of people. You know why? Because he's here making a confrontation. He's making an announcement. Who's doing it? The Holy Spirit is doing it through a prophet. He has done it. And he said, this is that hour. All right? The prophet said categorically that he's here. He took the scripture. I never knew any place where he took the direct scripture that I'd taken tonight. I'm not saying he didn't. I know he was smart enough and led by God that he could have done it. Because the same man that saw in Malachi 4 the ministry of Elijah was cut in two pieces, one at the time of Christ and one at this time. And I said, Brother Branham, how did you know? He said, only because he told me, Lee, is the only reason I knew. And I know tonight that Brother Branham did know the scripture I brought to your attention. I have no doubt but someplace he mentioned it. But because so many people do not understand or have not understood that there was a literal, absolute scripture from the Old Testament. I sat one day and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what about it? And it was just the clearest thing in the world to turn to Luke and then turn to the book of Isaiah and see that the proclamation was in two parts. See?
Praise God.
And the proclamation has come. What made John what he was? Spirit. What made Jesus what he was? Spirit. See, let's get back to the original. Let's get back to God all the way. And when you see that, you begin to understand more of what God is doing. Well, the Lord bless you. Now, I'll tell you what we might do. Now, we're not going to have a meeting this Friday, that's for sure. But if you've got any doubts about what I'm talking about, I don't think I'll have to repeat this next Sunday. I'm going to go on to him appearing to the Gentiles. And going into the in-depth study on that the best I can, then Wednesday follow through. But I tell you what you do. If you've got any problems, just write them down on the piece of paper, hand them in, let me see what I can do for you. I admit that many, many times, and you know my method of teaching, I have to start someplace and work because I know I'm going a certain direction. I am not a prophet. The word of the Lord does not come to leave veil. You better believe it. There's no way. There's no way. I'm not gifted. I'm not a prophet. No way. But I do teach, and I teach the scripture relative. Once a prophet opens it, I do have the ability to go to scripture, which is a gift that God places within the church. Now, so if you don't understand certain things, you have your privilege of asking a question or waiting to see what develops. Now, I don't care which way you go. If you want to ask a question, write it down, and if I already know the answer, I will tell you. If it's come to the place of the true definitive, if it is not in the true definitive, I can only say, look, this is as far as I see. But remember, the prophet was the true definitive. And he said what he did in flesh, which was through the same Holy Spirit, there's only one, he is now doing here in the Holy Spirit and telling what he is doing through a prophet. Now that much we know. We've come to the definitive. So I trust you understand where we are tonight and why we say the things that we say. Why we understand the way we understand, and how our hope has become so exciting to us through the revelation of God, which has given a stimulation concerning the things of the Lord, which I have never had in my wildest moments, in Pentecost or any other place. Today, it has come to the place, as the prophet said, as far as I can see, it's coming more and more into it. Where it has nothing to do how you feel, or what your emotions are, or what the conditions are. It has nothing to do with it. One thing, he is here, and he is doing it. Do you believe tonight you're getting a change? Certainly. Starts in the atoms in the inside. Starts right up here in the mind. The last moving part was the eyeball, right? What is above the eye does not move is the mind. There lies the spirit. Spirit and mind go together. That word begins moving in the realm of the mind. The Spirit of God begins moving and moving. And that Spirit of God taking it down within the very vessel, then God says, I want you to talk about it. I want you to talk about it. And as you talk about it, it goes back in your ears. And the Scripture says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips, and by the increase thereof shall he be filled. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Which way are you going tonight? It's laid out before you, brother. That's right. Talk all night, get us nowhere. Believing does. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again for your presence amongst us. The reality that you are here, you are not a God that is afar off. People, Lord, seeing a heaven as a far off place. That's not so. The word heaven, we know, Lord, simply means an elevated place, an important place, a high place. God is the high God, right here in the highest place. Oh, Lord, that I might give you glory that you are worthy of. That I might flow down like water before you, Lord. Oh, God, that might be it. I know sometime, Lord, it's going to occur. Sometime, Lord, in the very near future, standing here or going over there, that wonderful, sweet Spirit will be in the church, will be in each one of us, bride members. Oh, what healings, what wonderful, virtuous, glorious things will be in that bride. How marvelous for the day coming. Lord, we're very grateful that we can believe you for people to get saved. We're very grateful, Lord, we can believe for you tonight and people get full of the Holy Spirit. People get healed. People get help. We're very grateful, but we know this is the hour when none of those things are what's going to get us into the resurrection. It's you yourself standing here. Perfection has come. And you are quickening yourself within us. Forming this flesh into the same flesh of him that you raised from the dead, having shed that blood for our justification. Loose that life upon us. We don't understand all these things, Lord, but we're so glad. We're so glad they happened. We're so glad we were taught by someone who was indwelt by you that you could speak through and he could speak to us. And we could know then our communication was of God. And right tonight, Lord, we know that we have this wonderful place in your presence tonight. We're grateful for that, Lord. We thank you for it. Father God, we know the night is far spent. The day is breaking now. That new day is breaking. Lord, as we look at conditions and ourselves, we're so grateful that none of it devolves upon us. It's you or nothing. And yet, Lord, there's a hunger in our hearts to be more Christ-like, to be more devoted, more sincere, more sober. And we know that that's legitimate. That is the legitimate thing tonight, Lord. That the prophet himself bemoaned. He said, they're just not serious enough. He's here and they stand in his presence chewing gum and talking and laughing and being foolish. And we understand that, Lord. We know that. We know there's got to be more sobriety. And we got faith for that too, Lord. You're just not leaving anything undone. We know that. You made Sarah suddenly very sober. And we know that in your books we're not one whit behind anybody else. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the God over all. And that's the thing we just stand with tonight, and we're so happy, Lord. You're going to sober us right down. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's just going to be everything's gone but you, and that's all we have eyes for. My beloved is mine, and I'm the beloved's, and Father, that's what we're looking at tonight. Bless each one, Lord. Oh, God, just bless each one with the revelation, the presence. Never, never, never get enough, but Lord, it's just no way. No way, Father, no way. Help me to talk more with the saints of God about it. Help us to really open our mouths with the word that the prophet gave us. And he said, say what I say. Knowing he was saying what God said. Knowing the effect it would have upon us. So we're appreciative of that, Lord. Heal the sick amongst us. We know there's physical problems. We know there's spiritual problems, financial problems. But Lord, one of these days are all going to be gone anyway, but you never said we couldn't have help tonight. Yes. You never put that great resurrection rapture, your presence right here, and then said, now, you just don't get a thing until that day. You never said that. You said, I'm the same yesterday, day, and forever. And all down through the records, You've been just marvelous doing things for your people. And we just appreciate that tonight, Lord. We're not serious enough there again. So help us. We believe you've heard us tonight, Lord. We know you've heard us. And you said if we asked according to your will, your word, then we know we'd have the petition. So we thank you for helping us tonight, each and every one. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. We'll just go singing, Take the Name of Jesus with you. I guess, Norman, you're back there, the voice, I hope.